The Africa Business Report.
On to our Africa Business Report this evening, Director in Africa and List at Signal Risk is Rona Kapoldis. He's on the line to us from London this evening, where fears of coronavirus are taking hold in a very big way, Rona. In South Africa, certainly, there's some apprehension, but not the sort of widespread sort of panic we're seeing in parts of Europe.
Yeah, I mean, in London, Bruce, people are stocking up on toilet paper. On South African Twitter, we're making memes. So I think there's quite a different reaction in terms of the way we're viewing this. But jokes aside, this is a serious issue, and it's got profound effects on the global economy.
Well, it certainly does. I mean, do we know, can we begin to quantify, to contemplate, to consider, to even guess the potential economic impact of the virus on the African continent, which has got pockets of excellence and high growth and pockets of deep despair?
Yeah, I mean, we can definitely try. And I think the important thing is to understand that this is not just a China-Africa story. It's a global story because of the supply side and the demand side shock on the global economy. Now, I think from an African perspective, obviously it's difficult to quantify at this stage, but it's important to understand what the transmission mechanisms are. And I think there's the three angles that we should look at in terms of understanding this. Number one is financial markets, and we've seen the chaos that's ensued in the past week or so. The rand has kind of come into free fall. The Zambian kwacha has taken a hit. It's had a profound impact on emerging market currency bonds, emerging market currencies and stock markets, and Africa has not been immune to this fallout because in uncertainty and ambiguous times, there's a flight to safety. So the implications are quite significant for the African continent through the currency weakness and the higher rates that it's going to pay on its external debt. That means that the cost of debt rises. Then from a trade and investment perspective, the slowdown in the continent's two largest trading partners, China and Europe, is obviously going to have a negative impact on growth. And intra-regional trade is only 17%, so it may retard the African continent's free trade agreement as well.
Yeah, I mean, these consequences are so widespread, and we've got these commodity-based economies. I mean, we look at the oil price, for example, just in the last 24 hours, how that has collapsed. And the consequences of that, for example, and that's not even virus-related, but Angola and Nigeria are particularly vulnerable.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, now, you know, the big question marks around whether the fuel subsidies that are in place there are going to hold, what it means for the currency. And again, another kick to the growth trajectory of these countries, global demand is going to be shot, and on the supply side, the consequences as well. So what does this mean to corporate debt? What does it mean to household debt? What does it mean for the interest rate environment as well? I mean, overall, the picture is pretty bleak, and it's going to have a significant shock to the outlook for these African countries.
And then political consequences, of course, because when economies go into free fall, people get cross with politicians.
Yeah, I mean, on a global level, there's a question mark now around the future of globalization, given the contagion around this virus and how it's spread. You know, it could lead to a rise in protectionist impulses. You know, critics of open border and migration may have a stick to beat now. Nationalistic impulses could be on the rise, and you know, for strongman politicians who want to close borders, this could really work in their favor. And then, you know, there's a geoeconomic perspective as well. A lot of people are already talking about moving supply chains away from China because of the overexposure now. And you know, if you're a conspiracy theorist, that's something that you know you really need to ask about. Then elections, are they going to be postponed? You know, there's a question mark there. What does it mean for regional cooperation in Africa, things like the Continental Free Trade Agreement, and then the rise of xenophobia as well? So the impact of this, the indirect impact as well, stuff that we're not seeing yet, could be quite significant, and we'll just have to wait and see as to how long this lasts.
Sectors, dare we suggest which sectors are going to be hardest hit? We know tourism has got to be hit, and it's such a wonderful job creator, of course, on this continent of ours. The potential for tourism is immeasurable, and yet a slowdown in global air traffic, a slowdown in tourism is very negative.
Yeah, I think you touched on one of the biggest sectors that is going to be hit, which is kind of mining, metals, minerals, and commodities. So, you know, that's going to take a significant downturn. Countries like Zambia are highly exposed to the copper price. Countries like the DRC countries like Angola and Nigeria also. Aviation, hospitality, tourism revenues are a big part of the external revenue source for countries like Mauritius, countries like Seychelles. So that's going to have an impact as well. Consumer and retail sectors, less economic activity means that they're going to feel the pinch, and financial services as well. The one industry that potentially does get a bit of a positive benefit is the risk space, because obviously it gives us a lot more to talk about.
Exactly. And lots of ifs, buts and maybes in this discussion. I mean, while we're on ifs, buts and maybes, I mean, just the vulnerability of African countries to an outbreak of this virus is significant.
It is. I think there are three things that we need to look at when we're looking at the impact. So one is the economic exposure, not just China and commodity crisis, but also to these global shocks. Number two is the political fragility of these countries. And number three is the disease vulnerability. And on that basis, we've done some work at Signal Risk, and we classify Mozambique, Zambia, and the DRC as very high risk at the moment. But then, you know, you speak to folks and you say that given Africa's relatively young population and its experience in dealing with crises like Ebola, like cholera, like Lassa fever, that might be one of the advantages. I mean, the continent is quite exposed, though, because of two factors. One is the fact that, you know, you've got underdeveloped healthcare, insufficient infrastructure, and pretty weak borders. And then also this heavy economic exposure to commodity prices, weak balance sheets, and very limited fiscal and policy flexibility. So, you know, we're also in a very different place to where we were the last time we had the global financial crisis, where our debt levels are significantly higher. And we're not in the same place in terms of what developed market monetary policy can do as well. So I think the risks are pretty significant. You know, relatively speaking, in terms of the infections, we've been quite insulated at the moment relative to the rest of the world. But obviously, by the day, we're increasing in frequency and number. So we're going to need to watch this.
From London, thank you, Ronak Gopaldas, the director at Signal Risk. He is a risk analyst, and his business in London is Signal Risk on The Money Show this Tuesday night.